Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's up? It's your boy, The Ben Smith. Thanks for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast. Want more? Check out the greatest podcast in all the land, The Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and listen to a brand new episode every Tuesday night.
The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Coming up on a positive Friday, we will drink, we will toast into the weekend with a shot of the day. Then the exciting return of Bad Choice Friday!
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
It's Bad Choice Friday!
People are loving it.
This is your fault!
They are loving it today on Bad Choice Friday with the Disney boy.
Boy, this song pisses me off.
Really?
I mean, it's just,
why?
I don't know.
World, Steve. We're all in it together.
I don't care if they were singing the praises of me.
This is a positive song about world unity and love.
Are you sure about
from
that?
From a children's perspective. Because children, you know, they're not crappy like adults.
Yeah, but they're terrible musicians.
It's a small world taking on Baby Shark, bitches.
I kind of like this.
Yeah, man, this one's better.
Yeah.
I mean, it's better.
Hey,
what do you keep doing with your hands? What is that?
It's a shark dance?
Is that what?
Hey, you can say what you want. The only person, the only artist in the last decade close to the numbers this song pulled, Adele. That's it.
Woo! It's a barn burner.
Baby Shark
one.
Kicks ass. Here's how you vote. Follow us on Twitter at Men's Room Live. One of those two tunes will be played coming up right after we drink a toast with the shout of the day. Our Bad Choice Friday, It's a Small World or Baby Shark.
And people are real excited about these choices today.
Speaking
we have
of,
been called more colorful metaphors today than any show we've ever done.
Disney is looking to help give parents a break by making their kids' bedtime routine a little easier. If your kids are having trouble going to sleep these days, the Disney Store hotline offers bedtime messages from Mickey Mouse and his friends. Parents can call a special bedtime message for the loved one from Mickey Mouse, Minnie Mouse, Donald Duck, Daisy Duck, or Goofy.
I think it's about time you went to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I know what you're doing under the sheets.
Yeah. Hotline is available in the United States and is limited to one message per call. Our question, what is the craziest phone call that you've ever had to make or receive? 206-421-ROCK.
And if you stay in Disney World and you stay on property, you can get wake-up calls from the characters.
Really?
It's awesome.
Who do you pick?
Who do you pick?
Oh, Mick.
Really? Every time?
Hey, he's the guy.
I know he's the guy,
what does
but
he say?
He's the least interesting of all the possible
good morning. Time to get up.
That's it?
It's pretty short and sweet.
Okay.
Right. It's just like, but there's like, you know, it's like Goofy or there's like the five main characters
sure.
you can get. But, I mean, Christ, I'm going to be 40 in a month. And I'm getting excited just thinking about it.
Just like, making that call like, wake me up at 6:30.
Yeah, right. Which I never get up early. I do at Disney.
Just gotta, to hear his voice.
Well, you got to get breakfast to beat the lines.
Okay.
What is the craziest phone call that you've ever had to make or receive? 206-421-ROCK.
Yes, who it is, Ted.
James,
welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Okay, about 10 years ago, I was over at a friend's house. His wife took off for the night, day and night, and his little brother was there. And well, we get all drunk and stoned, and we decide we're going to run around the house shooting each other with his kids' Nerf guns. And and his brother had the surround sound set up, and he was playing some military game. So the shot, you can hear the machine guns shooting really loud through the house. And somewhere or another, my friend Brian decided to put his phone in his back pocket, and he butt dialed 911, and saying, "I'm going to kill you. I'm going to shoot you. I'm going to do this." Well, long story short, SWAT team ended up kicking in our door, and that wasn't a fun night. That messed up my drunk pretty good.
Did they believe you immediately, or how long did the process take for them to understand that it wasn't a situation?
They went kicking the door in, and we come running around with our Nerf guns, and we're looking down the barrel of real guns, and we just kind of stopped and dropped, and they went through the house, and they realized the video game was on surround sound pretty loud, and they made them turn that down, and we got lectured pretty good, and then they went about their business.
Let me ask you this. When you say they kicked the door down, is this like, we need to replace this door? You know what I mean? Like, it's off the hinges.
They didn't do that. They just came through, and that was it. And when they left. And I never heard anything more about it. And I think my friend had to replace his own door.
Yeah.
Well, sure.
Okay. All right. Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, SWAT's a lot different than your average
guy. You don't want to make that call. What's the craziest phone call you've either had to make or that you received? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Morgan. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello.
Hola.
Hola.
So what was the craziest phone call you either had to make or receive?
Okay, so I received a phone call after a party we tried to throw that never ended up happening. Classic 16, 17-year-olds trying to throw a party when their parents are out of town. And they ended up coming back because their flight was canceled. And we just had gallons and gallons of bourbon that, you know, we now had to drink ourselves between about 10 of us instead of the 30 that we were expecting. And I don't remember the rest of the night. However, the next morning, I got a phone call from the guy hosting the party saying that many people had defecated, urinated, and vomited all over the place.
Inside of his house?
Inside. So his bedroom was in the basement, and his parents were right upstairs. So apparently he was like this big wrestler guy and wasn't letting anybody upstairs to like keep the secret, I guess.
So what, people were pooping and puking in his room?
In his room, in his any sort of trash can that was available.
Was he accusing you of doing it, or did he say, "Hey, this is just what happened"?
This is just what happened.
Okay.
And I was like, I might have been guilty of that. I don't know. I don't remember.
Yeah, that's
I may have done that.
That's a terrible feeling when you wake up in the morning and do not remember how you got where you are.
Well, it depends on. It depends on how you are received by those around you, right? Because I can wake up and be like, oh, I don't remember what the hell happened last night. I walk into the kitchen, and if I get mean mugged by my wife, I'm like, I'm not going to ask. If I see her and it's a simple, how do you feel today? Then I know to ask, right? I mean, that's my first thing. Or if you walk into work, you know, like if there's a work party or something, and everyone's like, hey, man, boss wants to talk to you. It's like, oh, no. And the worst part is I don't even know what I'm going to get in trouble for. Because I don't remember. One of my favorite phone calls was from Ted. And we've told the story before, but you downed like all that gin. We went to a work fun, Ted is, I mean, drunk. And it was a comedy of errors the entire night, whatever. The next morning, however, get the phone call from Ted. Hey, man, I didn't do anything stupid last night, did I? And I just started laughing. I'm like, bro, the shorter answer is, what did you do that was not stupid? Right? Because there's maybe three things. Otherwise, everything you did last night.
But we got you covered. We got you covered.
Yeah, but also, remember, because I dropped my phone falling out of Miles' car, so the screen is broke. So I knew you were the last person I had called.
Right.
So I was like, well, I'll just call him and see what happened.
Yeah,
the phone fell right underneath the middle of my car.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, directly in the pouring down rain. I mean, I was just like, no! I had to, like, army crawl underneath my car on a busy interstate to get the phone out from underneath it. I'm like, this is how I die.
And the best thing about this was earlier the day before the evening that we had this work function, they had sent out the email or whatever it was, hey, no drinking at work events. Remember, that was the big thing.
Oh, yes. We would drink.
We would drink.
I mean, technically, I did.
Right, exactly. You didn't.
Right.
None of us did.
We did.
We didn't have a drop of alcohol.
We came in ready to go.
Yeah, we showed up drunk. Ted just, but the whole thing with Ted, what, you were fine when we first got there, but it's one of those things where you process all of that alcohol all at once, and you went from normal Ted to, oh, my God, this dude is so goddamn drunk, we don't know what to do.
And my roommate, the next morning, I'm like, hey, and this, not DB, the other one. I was like, what happened? He goes, dude, it sounded, he goes, Miles, like, walked you in. He goes, then you put your head underneath the sink and drank more water than I said, I'd seen a human. He goes, then you held on to the back of a chair for 5 minutes, drank more water, walked to your bed and fell asleep.
What is the craziest phone call that you've ever had to make or that you've received? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Travis. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello.
Hola.
So, I received a funky phone call from a restricted number about 5 years ago. Answered it. It was the Kent Police Department saying that a Bentley that had my name on it was across their train tracks.
Hang on.
So close. Here are the seven words you can't say on the radio.
I'm going to guess no.
Sucker, mother and please keep those words in mind when calling. Now back to the program.
So we're going
to
guess you do not own a Bentley.
Correct. Toyota. Okay. So this was a work vehicle. I had to call my boss and let him know that his vehicle is now in custody of the Kent Police Department and I need to get it. The fun part was is that they loaned it to a famous couple that was coming into town to try to generate some business for them. So at the end of everything said and done, we made more off, you know, them having to pay for the car than we would have selling it. So it worked. But it was an interesting call saying, hey, come get your Bentley, then having to call my boss saying, hey, guess who destroyed your Bentley?
So did they crash it or did they have it stolen when they were out?
No. They claimed it was stolen from one of their events, but it was not. They were, assumingly, they were drinking, driving, then they ran it over the train tracks about 100 miles an hour. And they didn't. The car didn't like that, so it just kind of destroyed all the tires, all the suspension, and sat there dead.
Wow!
How much did that cost them?
Them about $135,000.
Yeah,
was that a drop in the bucket? Would you say for that type of power?
Yeah, they probably could have done that another 1,000 times and not felt it.
Okay.
You know, if I'm rolling like that, then yeah, my Bentley got chopped in half. I don't care.
Just pay for it. What is the craziest phone call that you either had to make or that you have received? 206-421-ROCK.
You think police departments restrict their number because they know if you look down and see the police are calling, 95% of people are not going to answer?
Probably.
Because my first thing would be, all right, if both of my kids, if my family is home, I'm not answering the call. If my family's not home, then I will. So, in other words, if my family's not home, maybe something bad happened to them. If they're home and they're playing video games, like, I'm not answering that call.
All the accounting people are here.
Yeah.
What's the craziest phone call that you've ever had to make or receive? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Phil. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Yeah, so I got a phone call. My wife and I got a phone call 3 years ago. It's like 4:45 in the morning. We're sound asleep from the local sheriff department. That my 82-year-old father-in-law was brutally attacked with a hatchet from a crazy drugged-up lady.
Jesus!
Yeah, so he got hit 7 times in the head and once in the arm and survived it.
Damn.
Now, do they tell you all of this on the phone or is it just, hey, someone you know has been attacked, go to the hospital?
Well, they had to have the phone to my wife because she was the contact. And we proceeded to tell her exactly that he was in the hospital, been attacked, and he went to tell us the details. So we got to the hospital. We showed up, found out that he had, you know, what happened. He had lost 3 liters of blood all over the house. Somehow it's got the power back up to get off the floor to go make a phone call and call 911. But yeah, he was lucky to make it through.
Was this someone he knew?
No, there's a neighbor across the street from where he lives that, deals in drugs and stuff, and there's some shady people that show up over there, and he lives out in the country, and they just ended up, she was stoned out of her mind and was looking around to try to steal a car. She had tried to hit the neighbors up across the street, and they happened to have been up, woke up on him, answered the door, and she tried to attack them in their living room, tore the living room apart. They chased her out. She proceeded to come to his house, and then he has actually just got up to get dressed to go and have coffee with his buddies at the local restaurant. And he woke up. He was in his bedroom to get changed and heard the sliding glass door of his house shattered. Went in to see what it was, and she was standing in the living room with a hatchet in her hand, demanding his car.
Did authorities catch her?
She actually, after she attacked, she took his phone and called 911 herself and admitted that she actually found somebody that she thought was Lindsay Bonham's killer from the McClay, girl in McClay that got disappeared.
I remember who she is.
And she had got him, and she was sat there and waited for the cops to show up. And she had, I mean, they found the hatchet, they found her cell phone, but the crazy part is when she called 911, she used my phone while I was cordless phone in the living room, had set it down on the kitchen counter, and left it on, and she called it before she attacked him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so the whole attack was recorded by 911 operators, and when my father-in-law picked up the phone in the living room, he didn't realize that the phone was already on. He dialed 911, and the operator was instantly on there, so he told him what happened. And so the cops were already on their way to the scene from the neighbors. So, I mean, it was like 2 or 3 minutes after he got attacked is when the cops showed up.
Did they arrest this woman?
Yeah, she's in prison right now for, I think, 12 years now.
Okay.
Damn.
Yeah, that was 3 years ago. Since then, he's passed away. He passed away this February from other things. But yeah, it messed him up bad. He had seven times in the skull and his fracture at once, but he had a spot in his forehead where the damn axe actually dented his skull, you know, divoted it, so there was a bump on his forehead.
Damn.
That's how hard she hit him.
That is a crazy story.
Yeah, that's a crazy story.
You think if you live that long, that you're done with the shenanigans. You know what I'm
saying? Right.
You don't have to get involved in any more physical altercations. The worst thing that can happen, the most dangerous thing is the bathtub. Whatever, but for the most part, that is not what you think you're past those years.
That's why crazy's scary.
Right, because it's unpredictable.
Yeah.
See, it's those hatchet. I'm telling you. She shows up with a gun. It's like, take my car. Hatchet, they hit you with a hatchet.
What's the craziest phone call that you've ever had to make or receive? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Ryan. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, I was 14 at the time, and I was living in Iowa. And I decided I was going
to... Hey, Ryan,
you got to talk into that phone.
We can barely hear you.
Yeah, we can hear your engine really well.
How about that? Is that any better?
There we go.
Much better. Thanks, brother.
Okay, so I was 14 years old, living in Iowa, and I decided I was going to teach myself how to drive. So I decided to wait until my mom went to sleep, steal her keys, stole her car, and went joyriding. Totaled the vehicle, and instead of dealing with my mother, I ran to the police station and turned myself in. First thing they make me do is call my mother anyways.
Yep.
So, yeah, that was pretty insane. And needless to say, I did not get away scot-free on that.
When did you start driving?
It was about 3 a.m.
No, what I'm saying is, when did you legally start driving? In other words, was this one of those things where your mom said, look, you're not getting behind the wheel till you're 17, 18 years old? Or were you able to get your license?
18.
So was that from the legal standpoint of what the police said, or was that your mom's rule?
Combination of the two. I got sentenced to 2 years of probation for joyriding and essentially Grand Theft Auto. And then they made it to where I couldn't even get my license until I turned 18.
What kind of car did you wreck, by the way?
It was like a 92 Ford Taurus station wagon.
You're doing everyone on the favor. They don't have to look at that now. What is the craziest phone call you've ever had to make or that you received? 206-421-ROCK.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The men's room is in progress. 99.9 KISW and KISW HD1 Seattle.
My question, what is the craziest phone call that you've either had to make or that you received? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Colleen. Welcome to the men's room.
Caca. How's it going, guys?
Doing great, Colleen. How are you?
I'm doing good today, thanks.
Nice.
So, my fun story, I was about 18, 19, working at a daycare, and my roommate at the time calls me about 20 minutes before I get off work to tell me not to worry about the blood all over the bathroom. And hurriedly gets off the phone with me, and I'm like, what in the French, you know? So, get off work, haul butt home, and there is a blood trail from my couch into my bathroom. Literally looks like a murder scene. I'm cleaning everything up because I'm just a clean freak like that, and I don't know what the hell's happened.
And also, there's blood all over your house.
Get it up as soon as possible.
Exactly. My roommate comes home later on to inform me that a friend of mine had come over to hang out with him and a couple of his guy friends, and somebody said something that set her off. She went into my room, took my decorative knife off my wall, and stabbed my roommate's friend in the leg with it.
Jesus! Whoa. Did you have any idea that your roommate was capable of such an act?
Well, it wasn't my roommate. It was my friend that had come over to hang out with my roommate.
Did you have any idea that your friend was capable of such an act?
No.
What was said that he got stabbed?
I have no idea. Probably something misogynistic that she didn't want to hear.
Okay. All right.
Also,
PC for the radio.
Why did your roommate not clean the blood?
Because apparently they had to call the medic. When the girl had stabbed his friend, she had hit some kind of artery, hence the massive blood. And the police showed up, a car showed up, they took my roommate's buddy to the hospital. I think they arrested my friend, and they took my knife into evidence.
Does that mean you lost your knife?
I ended up getting it back a couple of months later.
You said this was a decorative knife?
Mm-hmm.
What like type of decorative knife was it?
A functional one.
Sharp one.
Apparently so. It was sharp. It was one of those ones that you buy at like one of those D&D store type places.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
I was just wondering, you know, I don't really have any decorative knives.
I don't. I mean, I have knives that I cook, and they're just as effective. Yeah, I'm sure I could try to kill a friend, too. I just, man, oh, man, that is not a phone call you want. Hey, listen, don't worry about the blood that's all over the
floor. But when you buy that in a D&D kind of comic book store or whatever, the last thing you think is someone's going to get stabbed with this in my place.
Yeah, generally those people are not buying them as like actual weapons.
Yeah, I'm going to hang this on the wall. People who know.
Right. You don't walk it. Like if I see a samurai sword, I'm not scared.
And you don't think a samurai lives there. What is the craziest phone call that you've ever had to make or that you've received? 206-421-ROCK.
That would be the damnedest thing, though, right? You can knock on someone's door or for Amazon or some delivery, and, like, the dude who opens the door is, in fact, a samurai.
Mm-hmm. With a sword.
Yeah, with a sword. Like, holy, wow. Can I get my picture with it? Actually, we're saying that there's a man who dresses like Boba Fett, and keep this in mind. He works somewhere downtown.
Mm-hmm.
He has been outside the last couple of days waiting for the bus there. He's dressed like Boba Fett, but we realize, aside from the fact that he obviously likes Boba Fett, that is his face mask.
Oh, yeah.
So I think, like, wherever he works, this is what dude wears. So we've gotten used to him now, so you don't really give him a second look, but dude just looks like Boba Fett.
All right.
Right. You just gotta, okay. Hello, Josh. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, a few years back, I was on Facebook, and Deion Sanders posted a thing saying his kid started a clothing company. He bought a sweatshirt from his son. He's calling it. I was like, oh, yeah, that probably won't happen, but I looked at it.
You know what? You're breaking up real, real bad on your phone. Are you on Bluetooth?
I'm not. Can you hear me now?
Yes. Yeah, a little bit better. Start that over again.
A few years back, I was on Facebook, and Deion Sanders posted a thing saying if you bought a sweatshirt or something from this kid's clothing company, he'd give you a call. And so I started looking through it and actually found some pretty cool stuff, so I ended up buying a sweatshirt. And I forgot about it, thought nothing of it. I was like, yeah, right, you won't call me. Well, about a month goes by, and I got a call from a restricted number, and I almost didn't answer it, because you know who answers restricted numbers. But I did, and sure enough, it was Deion Sanders. And I started talking to him for a few minutes, and I was just blown away that he actually called me. And I didn't take any of it in, because I was too busy running around the house with my brother to show him. But I thought it was pretty cool.
That is very cool. What do you talk to Deion Sanders, like when he calls?
What happened to the hot dog maker? The Deion Sanders hot dog maker. That's what
it
I'm talking
didn't
about.
Take off.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
We mostly just talked about his kids, you know, and stuff like that. Like I said, you know, I wasn't really taking him in at the time.
I'm pretty sure that Deion Sanders Jr. does do a clothing line. I think that's one of the things that he actually does now. So his son is into that stuff. I follow him on Twitter, so it seems like he's always pimping out clothes. I think they are his brand.
You follow his kid?
Yeah.
But not Deion.
I follow Deion, too.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I got the whole family. I got all his ex-wives on there, his girlfriends. Follow everybody.
Isn't he coaching at a college now?
Yeah. Somewhere in Florida.
I believe so.
Yeah.
He used to coach his kids high school, too. What is the craziest phone call that you've ever had to make or that you've received? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, John. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello.
Hola.
So this happened quite some time ago. I was 16, so about 15 years ago. And I was driving home from my girlfriend's at the time, and it was late at night. And I lived in California. And you know how in California, instead of making a stop, you kind of roll through it?
Yes, but it's well known for that, right?
California stop. Did you speak of?
Yeah, but I blew through this one.
Okay.
And the officer was there. It was an officer. So he pulled me over. And I'm sweating, you know, my balls off because I've never been pulled over before. And to make things worse, I'm driving a 92 Honda Civic, and the stereo has been ripped out of it. And I don't have my ID. So when he pulls me over and he asks me, he thinks I stole the car.
Well, yeah, because you're driving a Honda Civic with a radio ripped out of it.
And you have no ID. Yeah.
I mean, he just knows that if he's pulling over a Honda Civic, it's been stolen.
Exactly. And I just bought it from my neighbor. So the registration wasn't in my name. And so he levels with me, says, hey, call, give anybody you can call to verify your identity. And so I'm like, yes, it's late at night. My mom's at home. I'm going to call my mom. So I pull my phone and I call my mom and, you know, the phone's out. So the officer can hear the phone and I'm like, and the officer takes it. He says, hey, I'm Officer Davis from San Bernardino PD. I pulled over your son. And I can hear my mom shout, I don't have a son, and hang up.
Oh, no. Damn.
So I'm going crazy. And the only thing I can think of is that I'm way too skinny to go to jail.
Wait. All right. It's an interesting thought, but continue.
Yeah. So the officer takes a step back, and he can tell he reevaluates the situation. And I'm just begging him, like, let me call her again. It's my mom. I promise I have a mother on this planet. Please, let me call her again. And so I call my mom again and the phone's on speaker and my mom answers and the officer speaks up at the time and says, hey, I'm Officer Davis from, you know, San Bernardino County PD. And I can hear my mom, is this Ricky? Is this one? And the officer speaks up and says, no, ma'am, this is an officer. And then I can hear my mom go, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I thought this was a prank call. And I'm feeling just the biggest sense of relief on the planet because I thought I was going to jail.
And did she tell the guy who you were and he let you go?
Yeah, and he immediately started laughing at me. And I'm still, like, sweating. And I'm still, like, freaking out.
Yeah, because you're a kid.
Yeah. And he's like, you know what? Just get out of here. Just go.
Yeah.
Damn. Thanks, Mom.
Okay.
Jesus. Right. I don't have a son. Click.
What's craziest phone call that you've either had to make or receive? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, guys.
Hola.
All right. Well, I was living in Montgomery Village, Maryland, back in the 90s with my dad, going to University of Maryland. And I was upstairs, like, doing homework or whatever, and I get a call. They said it was the Montgomery County Police and that they had my dad. And I thought it was someone making a joke. And they said, here, well, let me put him on. And they put him on, and it was him. And apparently, drunk, he had gone out in the middle of the night. I didn't even know he was gone, and had slashed some people's tires.
What did your dad do for a living, by the way?
He worked for the government.
Okay. Oh. Did he know the people whose tires he was slashing?
No, he wasn't a really nice guy. And he was an alcoholic. And he used to get really pissed off when people would park on the street in the community that we lived. In Montgomery Village. And he apparently had come home and saw people had been gathering for like a party and were all parked on the road. Came home, he got drunk, went out in his slippers and his t-shirt and slash somebody's tires.
Did he have pants on, too?
He had pants on.
Okay, yeah. That's an important detail. And, I was picturing this guy, Donald Duck.
No, he was clothed, but he had just decided that he was so pissed off at them parking on the street that he was going to go slash their tires.
So what is your response? Because it's one thing to be a parent, you know, and hear that.
I thought it was a joke. I thought it was a friend of mine calling, saying it was a joke. And I'm like, so I had to drive down in the middle of the night to Seven Locks and go pick him up.
Was he apologetic or was he just like, arr?
No, he wasn't. He didn't really talk about it. I still have the pocket knife.
You know, I was going to tell you, slashing a tire is not easy.
No.
Not with these new tires these days. You think that that's something you could do just real quick, like pop, 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 pop.
Has it ruined your fun, Miles?
No, I'm just saying.
No, you sound disappointed about it.
It's not easy.
You know how hard it is to slash tires.
How many tires have you slashed?
Yeah.
I've been around somebody who tried.
It was a really good pocket knife.
Well, obviously. Okay, yeah, I was going to say. It was
real sharp.
I can promise you I never slashed a tire.
No, I've never slashed a tire. I've done some damage, but not slashed a tire. Didn't your buddy hurt himself or something? Like, thing exploded.
When he tried, I can't remember exactly what happened, but he's like, dude, it's not as easy to slit a tire as you think. I was like, okay. Because we were all just waiting in the car for him to come back. He was gone for like 5 minutes.
Like, is this like an ex or someone sleeping with
him? I don't even remember the scenario. Something probably domestic, yes. I really don't remember the scenario. He was retaliating for something.
I feel like if you walk out and you have slashed tires, you have a very good idea of who's behind.
He's like, I'll be right back. You know what I mean? But he wasn't. And that was the thing. Like, and he ran back because somebody opened the front door or whatever, and the next door. And he's like, dude, it's really hard to slash tire.
Like, well,
did you even
out.
Get it in? He's like, no. Not even really. No. He's like, he kept trying and pushing. Car was rocking. Like,
next time, don't use a spork.
I don't think you're doing this right. What's the craziest phone call that you ever had to make or that you received? 206-421-ROCK.
Guess who it is, Ted?
James.
James, welcome to the men's room.
James?
Hola.
How are you guys doing?
Doing great, man. Positive Friday, James.
Positive Friday.
Yeah. James?
Is he messing with us?
I don't know. Is he gone that quickly?
He just wanted to see how we were doing, I guess. Well,
thanks, James. We appreciate the call.
He's a nice guy.
So friendly.
How you guys doing? We're doing well. That's all I wanted to
know. That was the craziest phone call we've ever received.
Were any of the four Jameses yesterday that nice?
They weren't that nice.
Most of them were one and done. We didn't really have time to
They were smart, but not as nice. Yeah.
What's the craziest phone call that you've either had to make or receive? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Ben. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Okay, so my wife was standing by. She was at an airport, and she's waiting to get on a plane. And her friend, Jess, calls her up. And right before she gets right as they're calling her onto the plane, her friend Jess says, what does a carcass of a human look like? And who do you think I should be calling right now to get that taken care of?
First of all, how stupid is her friend? That's the first question.
Barry.
Okay. What is the response? Like, I don't know, maybe the police?
The response was, why are you calling me? Get off the phone. Call the cops.
Why was there a dead body?
It was a dead dog.
Oh, dead dog.
But she said carcass. She didn't say dead dog. So my wife's like, holy crap, get off the phone. Call the cops. They're going to trace the call and see that I'm the first person you called.
That, you know, that's a good point.
So she's just assuming that her friend is a killer and that that's okay. Just don't call me first.
Exactly.
Okay. I think that's fair.
I think that's a time where you evaluate your friendship with people. I, for a second, thought you don't need to call me first because therefore that I'm going to get entangled into your crazy web. Call someone else. I'll see you when I get back in town.
I used to know a guy like that where I don't know what he was up to. You knew he was up to no good. He didn't necessarily share everything that he did, which to me is a very smart move. But if I talked to him for more than 30 seconds, and it was me and a bunch of guys, we knew him and he'd hang out at the bar we were at, we were always like, stop talking to us. Because when the FBI comes looking for you, I want to honestly be able to tell them, like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
If you get 30 seconds in any story, you start seeing the trajectory, like, dude, stop. Because whatever you say next, now I'm going to know how severe whatever it is you did is. I don't want to know. I'll buy you another beer. Please do not finish the story, because one day you're going to end up on 60 Minutes or the FBI, and I want to be able to honestly say,
I'm assuming that this guy had been arrested then. After the fact, because if you got to stop him from doing that, he's going to do it someplace else.
Well, we would all do it.
That's what I'm saying.
He's going to go to a different bar.
Oh, Garrett. Well, the thing is, he was frequent that bar, so we all kind of knew who he was, and we were there, I don't know, for like 2 years, so we got familiar with the guy. Trust me, this bar, everyone was up to no good. I mean, it's like a heroin alley. It was just that joint, but there are things you can do that are illegal. There are other things that I perceive as criminal. This guy was more on the criminal end of things where we might be doing illegal things, right?
Sure.
Like, even if the cops showed up and you were shooting heroin, if he were there, the cops would have been like, you know, we're going to do it. Keep shooting heroin, buddy. It's fine. We don't care. This guy, he's a danger to other people. You know what I mean? Like, some people are just down on their luck, and then there's you. We're not even sure you're down on your luck. You're just a bad, mm-hmm. strange, creepy guy. And I just felt like every story, just the way he explained everything, like, dude, shut up. I don't want to know. I don't want to know that you've killed 15 people. Whatever it is you're about to say, I don't want to know. Because I'm going to have to call the cops. I just get the feeling, and I'm not a big 911 guy. I get the feeling your stories lead me to be like, beep, beep, beep. This guy's a killer. Come get him.
Because you don't want to know that story, period. You don't want to deal with it. And then, right, there's also the legal ramifications of being like,
I don't want to have to go to court for you.
Exactly.
I don't want to be on TV. I don't need to be in the local news explaining, yeah, I knew him.
Well, and on a lesser angle, there's just some people sometimes I'm just like, there is no reason to give that detail.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't help the story at all. Like, people will understand. Like, why would you put in the illegal part?
Don't get on Facebook. Right. What is the craziest phone call that you've ever had to make or receive? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Chris. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitch, hola.
Hola.
Positive Friday, gentlemen.
Yes, positive Friday.
Positive Friday.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So, years ago, I used to manage a glass shop, and we get customers calling all the time frantically. They just got a rock chipper crack. What do we do? What do we do? And tell them to come on in. But one day, I get a woman call, and I answer the phone. She's like, I just got hit. Okay, here's our address. Come on in. And she's like, damn it, this is your mom. Okay, you need a rock chip fix? No, I just got T-boned. All right, so I call the owner, close up shop, head out there. Well, in this lovely state, if you and I get in a wreck, but nobody's injured, as long as you swap information, you can leave.
Okay.
So my mom's there. She's frantic. Her car's totaled. State trooper's there. And I'm just in his face calling a POS because, you know, where's the other guy at? How come you haven't done anything? And he explained to me what happened. And then the owner of the house whose yard that the car wound up in came out and told my mom that he's lucky or that she's lucky that she didn't hit his cherry tree. Otherwise, he was going to press charges.
Oh, for God's sakes.
I came unglued. You know, mom's injured. She's shaking. Car's totaled. And you're worried about a goddamn tree.
I think that's fair.
I was pissed.
Well, did you maintain your calm?
Oh, yeah. I was calm. The cop just looked at me. He put his hand on his holster. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to go and take a few steps back now.
That'll do it.
I'm going to shoot this guy. Still to come, the exciting return of Tenet versus the FCC right after emails on our question. What is the craziest phone call that you've ever had to make or receive? You are listening to The Men's Room.